الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبإيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحت الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك والفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with this great Mubarak deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift of Iman. Together with that, for our guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the Holy Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain to us the Holy Quran and to elucidate the meanings of the Holy Quran. As long as we hold fast to the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there's glad tidings that we'll never go astray. If you hold on to two things, لَن تَذِلُّوا مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ شَيْئَيْنُ وَأَمْرَيْنُ, I have left between you two things, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَن تَذِلُّوا مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا, as long as you hold fast to it, you will not go astray. كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ, the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lifestyle of Rasulullah, the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us by showing us the realities of all aspects of our life, of all the different phases of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the reality. When we come into the world, what is the reality of this world? When we will leave this world and go into the grave, what will be the reality of the grave? It's already shown to us. What will happen thereafter on the plains of resurrection, and how accountability will take place, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared paradise. May Allah grant us all with His favor and with His bounty and mercy. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Jahannam. So all these, from the beginning of life till the ending of the worldly life, the life to come in the grave and the hereafter, are all very clearly expounded and explained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the verses of the Holy Quran. So alhamdulillah, a mu'min or a Muslim is that person who is guided all the way. He's not left in abeyance in any way or any phase of his life that he has to do what he wishes to do or uses his discretion or looks around the lives of the people. No. Everything is clearly explained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And it is for us, not only is it explained, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and through His love for the ummah, has shown us ways and means how to adopt that path and that way of life that will bring us closer to Him and make us successful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through His practical example, has shown to us which is the way that we should take and how we should take that way. And the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has followed this way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have demonstrated to mankind that this is the way of success, this is the way of honor and respect, and this is the way that is practical and possible for us to emulate and follow in this life. In the Quran, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find various aspects that are mentioned regarding the ghaib, those things that we cannot see, those things that we cannot fathom, death, and thereafter the conditions after death, what will happen in the grave, what is the grave, what is the reality of the grave, thereafter from what phase to what phase will be taken from the grave, and on the plains of Arafat, what will be the conditions. One hadith, Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains the different stages of the akhirat, and he mentions there will be a stage where people will gather, then there will be stages where people will come and they'll have different ranks there. There will be a stage where some people's face will be illuminated and some people's face will be darkened. And then he mentions there'll come a phase where people will be plunged into total darkness. Nobody will be able to see around them. Normally we hear that the sun will be very close, and obviously we know the brightness and illumination of the sun when it's close. But similarly we find in the hadith that there will be phases on the day of judgment where people will plunge into total darkness. We will not be able to see. We will not be able to see anything. And thereafter light and nur will be distributed from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Light will be distributed from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this will be in proportion to an extent to the good deeds that the person carries out. Here in fact there's great details that light will be given to the believers and no light will be given to the kafirs. And the munafiqeen also, there are two ayats. Some ayats we understand they will be given light, and some ayats we understand that they won't be given light. And the end result will be that they also will be, even if they are given light at the outset, then eventually and ultimately the light will be snatched away and they will be plunged into total darkness. And this light will be required to go over the bridge of Sirat. This light will be required for the people to cross the bridge of Sirat. So here in the light of this hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that this light will be distributed in proportion to the good deeds and amal salihah that the person carried out in this dunya. If he carried out great amount of deeds, then his light he will be given will be also very extensive and will be very large. In fact, he mentions that some people will be given light equivalent to mountains, equivalent to a mountain. That amount of light a person will receive. One person will receive light that is equivalent to a khajur tree, the size of a khajur and a great tree. This is the amount of light and nur that he will be given. Another person will be given light that will be equivalent to the height, to a height of a man. This is the amount of light that he will be given. And the least amount of light, he mentions, that will be given to a person, there will be the light that is equivalent to his index finger. That amount of light only he will be given. And that also, that light will not be there all the time. It will be lit for a while and it will be extinguished after a while. It will be there for a while and extinguished after a while. So this light we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about in the Holy Quran, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. The day you will see the believing men and the believing women. What is meant by the day here? The day of judgment. يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. You will find the light running and moving before them, in front of them, and towards the right-hand sides. And بُشْرَاكُمْ الْيَوْمِ. It will be told to them, your glad tidings of today is you will enter into paradise beneath which rivers will flow, and you will dwell therein forever. ذَلِكَ وَالْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And this is the day when there will be a day of great triumph and a day of great success. So here we find that nur will not be given to the munafiqeen, or it will be given to them and snatched away. Mufti Shafi rahmatullahi mentions here that among the munafiqeen are those that are there in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those that are after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions that also in this category of munafiqeen are those people that do not accept the meanings of the Quran and Hadith, like it is mentioned by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they make interpretations just to suit themselves, to suit their fancies and to suit their desires. They make interpretations of the Quran and the Hadith. They will be also among those munafiqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions those amal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only shows us here in the hadith that there will be nur, it will be distributed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only speak about the nur, but we are shown ways or shown actions that through which we will get this nur on the day of judgment. And this is of prime significance and importance that we adopt those actions that will grant us this nur on the day of judgment. It will make it easy for us and enable each of us, inshallah, to go over the bridge of Sirat. Those are the actions that we should adopt, ourselves, our wives, our children, because going over the bridge of Sirat is something that every human being will have to do. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَرَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. That every person will have to cross this bridge of Sirat, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for all of us. So this is essential, and it's absolutely essential for us that we adopt those actions whereby we will get this nur and we'll get this light. In fact, if you look into the light of the, if you look into the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua for nur. Oh Allah, Allahumma jal fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa an yamini nura, wa an shimali nura, wa ra'i nura, wa Allahum azimni nura, wa ajalni nura. So many words are used. Oh Allah, create light in my eyes, create light and nur in my ears, create light in my tongue one place, create light in my hair, create light in my flesh, create light in my skin. Let there be nur in front of me, behind me, on the sides of me, above me, below me. Oh Allah, put a whole lot of light upon me. Allahumma ij'alni nura wa azimli nura. Give me great amount of nur, a great amount of light. So where will we get this light? We find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great actions are mentioned, very easy and simple actions through which we will get this light and nur on the day of judgment. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, it means to this effect, that give glad tidings to those people that walk in the darkness, that walk extensively in the darkness and come towards the masjid. Give them glad tidings of a perfect nur on the day of judgment. Person that comes for the salat in the dark hours of darkness in the morning and the evening when it is dark, then we should have in our minds the virtue of this coming and walking towards the masjid in darkness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of this walking and coming to the masjid, will grant us a great amount of nur on the day of judgment. Here we're walking and suffering and going through the hardships because of this darkness. But in lieu of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us extensive and great light on the day of judgment. Similarly, in one hadith we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us and tells us that the person that safeguards his salat as far as the time is concerned, as far as the postures are concerned, as far as the etiquettes are concerned, as far as the mustahabbats and the preferable deeds are concerned, preferable acts related to namaz are concerned, the etiquettes, etc. Person that safeguards his namaz and looks after his namaz and establishes his namaz, then this namaz will become kana lahu nuran, it will become a light for him, a burhanan, and it will also become a proof for him, wa najatan yawm al-qiyamah, and a means of salvation on the day of judgment. Here we find, in fact, in every action, every good action, the beauty of the actions is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of those actions, does not only pay us one deed or one good deed or from one side, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards are multifaced. For example, coming towards salat, one reward here in the darkness is what? Is getting complete nur on the day of judgment. Another one is, for every step that we take, our sins are forgiven. For every step a person takes, then his rank is elevated. For every step he takes, he gets a reward. So there is a multiple amount of rewards in each action virtue that we carry out in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a greatness and generosity from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here for salat, we find one hadith is mentioned. Person that safeguards his salat, it will become a light for him, and it will become a proof for him and salvation for him on the day of judgment. And for man lam yuhafiz, the person and does not look after his salat, does not safeguard his salat, then there will be no light for him, there will be no proof for him, and there will be no salvation for him on the day of judgment. But in fact, there is a serious warning that he will be resurrected. Ma Qarun wa Haman wa Fir'aun, with Qarun and Haman and Fir'aun. Other words, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try and establish the salat, not only in ourselves, but in our wives, in our children, and our young, upgrowing children as well. Impress upon them, show to them the importance of salat. That will become a means of light for us on the day of judgment. It will become a proof for us, and it will become a means where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will salvate us on the day of judgment. Yet another action whereby we can get this nur on the day of judgment. One hadith is mentioned that even a single verse that a person recites of the Holy Quran, it will become a nur and light for him on the day of judgment. Another hadith we find that a person that recites the Suratul Kaf, that is on the 15th Juz on a Friday, today is a Friday, and alhamdulillah, many of us recite this. We should try and make sure that our families and our children also recite the Suratul Kaf on the day of judgment. Apart from the numerous benefits here that I mentioned, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one benefit is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a nur on the day of judgment. Such a great nur, it will extend from his feet right up to the heavens and right up to the skies if he reads this regularly on a Friday. Another hadith is mentioned, when a person reads Suratul Kaf on a Friday, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him nur from where he is right up to Makkah al-Mukarramah. That amount of nur, covering this entire distance, that amount of nur will be given to him on the day of judgment for reciting Suratul Kaf on the day of Friday. Here, action that takes barely 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and look at the great rewards that nur that will be dependent upon hereafter, that each one of us will require, will be granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith is mentioned that when a person recites just a single durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will become, and a nur will be granted to us on the day of judgment for the single durood that we recite. And obviously, the more the person recites the durood, the more nur we will find in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Very easy actions. How long does it take for a person to recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is apart from the other rewards. So many rewards. In fact, people have written complete books as far as the virtues of durood is concerned. One other famous reward that we always hear about is that when we send one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 10 mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon us. This is apart from that. There's so many, as I mentioned, that there's multi-faced. The reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not from one dimension or one aspect or one type of reward. We find multiple rewards for good actions that we carry out. One side, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other side, we find nur granted to us on the day of judgment. Other side, we find the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other side, we find the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for reciting large amount of durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the days of Hajj. We find people going for Hajj. Allah Ta'ala take all those that aspire to go for Hajj and accept the Hujjaj, the Hajj of all the Hujjaj. Here we find another great action that will bring about nur on the day of judgment is when a person is coming out of his ihram. mentioned the riwayat, the person that's coming out of his ihram and shaves off his hair, for every hair that falls down, there will be nur for him on the day of judgment. Similarly, the person that goes to Mina and pelts pebbles onto the shaitan, this rami or this pelting also will become a nur for him on the day of judgment. Similarly, in one hadith is mentioned that that person that throws a single arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's fighting in jihad, this will also become a means of nur for him on the day of judgment. In lieu of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with nur on the day of judgment. So here we find in the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has showed us of ways and means to get that nur that we require on the day of judgment. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us that that person that takes away, alleviates the calamity of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him two columns of nur. Two columns of nur on the day of judgment that will brighten up his entire world. That will brighten up the world. This is the amount of nur he gets for alleviating and taking away the calamity and difficulty and hardship of a Muslim brother. Here we find the days, these days, many people are afflicted with calamities and difficulties and disasters and hardships. To alleviate that, either by making dua for them or interceding for them or assisting them financially or morally in whatever way, and taking away the difficulty and hardship of a mu'min makes a person deserving. Apart from the other great amount of rewards that Allah has in store, person that takes away a calamity of a Muslim brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away a calamity from the calamities of the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him of one of the calamities of the day of judgment if he relieves and takes away a calamity from the calamity of any Muslim brother. This is apart from those great rewards. Is this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him two great columns of light on the day of judgment, with which it will be easy for him, to enable him to see. Yet another way of getting this light. In one hadith is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that that person that makes the zikr of Allah, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the bazaars, so to say nowadays in the malls, in the shopping areas, the person that makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will receive light equivalent to every hair that is in his body. To the extent of every hair in his body, he will receive nur on the day of judgment. Very simple action, to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, the kalima, or to read that dua, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulk, wa lahu al-hamdu yuhyi wa yumeet, wa huwa hayyun la yamutu bi ghayri al-khair, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Apart from the great rewards that they mentioned for this dua itself, that a million of his sins are forgiven, a million status he is elevated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a million rewards. Apart from this reward, we find this reward also for a person that makes zikr in the bazaars and thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will be granted nur on the day of judgment. So these are various amount of actions that I mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of them are related, as I mentioned, to hajj, etc. Every person does not go for hajj. Yet there's another hadith where it mentioned that person whose hair turns grey, that mu'min whose hair turns grey while in the state of Islam, then for him also will be nur and light on the day of judgment. Other words, for this grey hair a person has in his beard or in his hair, etc., and he turns grey while he's a Muslim, for that also there will be nur for him on the day of judgment. Obviously, these are actions that are not in our control. The hair turns grey without our choice. But there are such actions that are so easily done here that were mentioned initially. We cannot go for hajj at all times. Similarly, we cannot make our hair turn grey. And we cannot be fighting the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and throwing arrows. But there are some actions that are very simple that we met initially. Coming, walking to the masjid in the darkness of the night or in the darkness in the morning, to come walking in the darkness. Similarly, to establish our salat, to safeguard our salat. And this, as I mentioned, is apart from all the other tremendous amount of sawab that we'll get for safeguarding the salat. And we know the famous hadith that we hear over and over again, that our daily bread has become easy if a person establishes his salat. The Quran tells us in the salat, tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, want to abstain from evil and want to abstain from those things that are obscene and immoral, then establish salat in the proper sense of the word. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will save us from all the evils and immorality that is around us. But the condition is we establish salat in the proper manner. Man hafaz ala salawat. Person that establishes salat, safeguards the salat, looks after the salat. Hafaza is not only hafiza. Hafiza means to safeguard. And hafaza is to take pains to safeguard and look after something. And this was the way of our pious predecessors, that not a single takbir-e-ula is missed. Not a single sunnah is missed. Not a single mustahab is missed as far as the salat is concerned. Nothing casual about the salat. Complete seriousness like we have with mundane activities today. Not a single day a person misses his job or misses to open the shop on time, etc. We are so particular about it. Similarly, we should be more particular about our salat. Man hafaz ala salawat. And the Quran, you'll find very rarely, yusallun as-salat. Iqamat as-salat comes to establish the salat. And to establish the salat is to carry it out in a proper manner as is prescribed in the Sharia. Thirdly, we find the action of reciting the Holy Quran. So simple for us. Many of us, alhamdulillah, know how to recite the Quran. We have the opportunity to recite the Quran. That very one ayat will become a means of nur for us on the day of judgment. This is apart from all the other rewards that a person gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That intercede for us on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens. For every alphabet you get 10 rewards, the minimum rewards. Apart from all this is that it will give us a nur. Similarly, reading the Surah Al-Kahf on Fridays, a very simple practice, takes 10 to 15 minutes. Reading durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all mostly go to the marketplace or come from the marketplace to the masjid, then they have to go back there to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to conscientize ourselves and to be aware and be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this remembrance here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us nur on the day of judgment. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the different forms in the marketplace is so absolutely simple when we go there. Similarly, when we have the Muslim brothers in their difficulties and hardships, also this will become a means of nur on the day of judgment. And yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us what to abstain from. What to abstain from. In other words, we have on this side all those constructive factors that will bring about the nur. But sometimes what happens when everything constructive is there? One destructive element comes and destroys the reward of all of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, إِيَّاكَ وَالظُّلْمُ فَإِنَّهُ هُوَ الظُّلُمَاتَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That save yourself from oppression, because this will be great, it will bring about a great amount of darkness on the day of judgment. So together with adopting those actions that will bring about nur and illumination and light, inshallah, for us on the day of judgment, we should abstain from those destructive forces also that is of zulm and oppression. We should not oppress anyone, whether it's our wives, whether it's our children, whether it's our neighbors, whether it is. And what is oppression? Oppression is not to fulfill the rights. وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مُوْضِيهِ. To put something in its inappropriate place is oppression. Otherwise, not to fulfill the rights of a person, not to fulfill that which is due upon me and you regarding towards that person, not to fulfill that or to usurp the rights of that person, this is zulm and oppression. And this takes many forms. Many forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls sin oppression. قُلْ يَا عِبَارِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْلَفُوا. Many places we find, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَزْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَزْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not oppressed, but they oppress themselves by being disobedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sin also forms the basis of oppression upon ourselves. Similarly, not fulfilling the rights of the wife, of the neighbor, of the workers, of the people that live around us, of the other creatures that are around us, there's also a form of zulm. Find a person, a debtor, is not paying the creditor. Comes in a hadith that person, matlul ghani dhulmun, that person that procrastinates, that person that is rich and procrastinates, I will pay you tomorrow, I'll pay you next week, as we all know what happens, then this is also a form of zulm and a form of oppression. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to establish these good actions in our lives and gain the maximum amount of nur in the day of judgment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and give us the tawfiq to abstain from all those destructive forces that bring about darkness. Darkness in this world, darkness in our lives here, darkness in the grave, and darkness in the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.